Today, Shalom Sechbavim Tzia Daf Yotess. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yot Ches Amud Be'ez. The last words on the Amud. On the Amud. Says the Gemara, Rabba Babachanam, Irchas Lei Gita Be'ez Medrash. Lost the get in the Be'ez Medrash. And the Talmidim who were in the Be'ez Medrash found that get. Amar, so he said to them, Isimana, if you have a simon in that get, isli begevei, if what's required for me to be able to get back the get is that there should be a simon in the get, I have a simon. Vitvis aina, if that I should be able to recognize that this get is the get, isli begevei, I also have that. There's, as we're learning, there are two separate concepts. There's a concept of simonim, and there's a concept of Tfiyas Ayin. The Gemara Masech Techulin Daf Tzadik Vov Omer Aleph teaches us that Tfiyas Ayin is considered a stronger proof than Simonim, even than Simonim Mufhakim. Because the Gemara over there says that if somebody tells a shlich of his, go out and please call somebody, and he gives him Simonim, how to recognize that person, the Gemara says we're not quite certain if he'll be able to recognize the individual just based on simonim. But if he gave him a tfiyas ayin, if the shliach has tfiyas ayin, then for sure we could rely that the shliach gave it to the right person. Furthermore, if Adam come and say that they could identify that somebody was a murderer, and the way they could identify that is through Tfiyas Ayin, that is accepted as testimony. Even though the halacha is that if Adam were to identify that a certain person as a murderer through simonim, even the strongest simonim that you could find won't be satisfactory. And the Shalos HaTshuva space of Ephraim Evin Ezer, Chelek Aleph Simches, explains that what's the difference between simonim and a tfiyas ayin? Because when we speak about simonim, we have to be concerned that there's another person that has the same simonim. And therefore, since we need to be concerned, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, if there's somebody else with the same name or with the same simonim, it has very significant halachic ramifications. But tfiyas ayin, we don't have to be concerned that there's somebody else that would be identical, and therefore tfiyas ayin are not as strong. A tfiyas ayin is stronger than simonim, and the Meiri explains that simonim, as much as simonim are relied on, and we're going to be speaking about simonim in our coming shiurim, still says the Meiri, people are more likely to make a mistake when we speak about simonim, than they are to make a mistake when we speak about tfiyas ayin. And therefore, says the Meiri, the halacha is that simonim, tfiyas ayin, is much more reliable than simonim. Says the Gemara, so based on this, ahadrin elei, they return the get to him. But Rava Babachana said, lo yidana, now I don't know, what was the basis for them giving back the get? Lo yidana imishum a simona hadron elei. Did they return it to me because of the simonim that I offered? Because Savri, and they are of the opinion that simonim a deraisa, that we could rely on simonim in a question even of a deraisa. Here we're speaking about a get. Imishum tfis ayin hadrali, or did they give it back to me because of the tfis ayin that I said I have? The Tzois points out that, as we mentioned, the next parak that we're going to learn, Eilu Metzius, we discuss quite extensively about simonim. And the question is, how do we relate to those simonim? So the Tzois says that what's the question if we can or can't rely on simonim? He says, because sometimes simonim, the Tzois says a very interesting vart. He says, sometimes simonim, you just get lucky, and you say that the thing that was found has this simon, not because you really know that that's the case. And it's therefore by Simonim says the Tzois, we always need to be concerned that maybe this person is saying something which is not true, and therefore we can't, therefore says the Tzois, we cannot rely on Simonim. So Tzois points out, how could somebody really have Tvius Ayin on a get? You get Tvius Ayin on an object or on a person by being with that person, knowing that person. Nobody really spends the get time that much time. So he says, so the Echroinim say that since there are no two Gitin that are the same, even though people don't spend a lot of time looking at the get, the uniqueness of every get gives us a Tfias Ayin quicker. The Lechem Mishnah actually says that a person cannot achieve Tfias Ayin on a get without having the get and having looked at it for a while. But then the Achroinim, the Beis Meir, and other Achroinim ask obviously a question. Here the Gemara is discussing, was the get able to be returned based on Simonim? Was the get able to be returned based on Tfias Ayin? But we've learned so many times that Ein Dover Sheba'erva Pachs Mishnayim. Everything that involves a get, Kedusha, needs two Edim. So how could anything other than two Edim be fine? So Rabbi Chanan answers that the halacha is if somebody comes in and says, Kidashti Spiti, I married off my daughter. A father has the right to marry off a daughter while she's a ketana. V'eini yedei l'mi kacha, and I don't know who's the chassan. The halacha is that somebody shows up and says, I am the chassan, he's believed. And the Ran asks in Masechta Kedushin, how could that be acceptable? Why don't we need to have two edim? So the Ran answers, the two edim are needed for the wedding. So yes, there were two edim at the wedding. The fact that there aren't two edim that could identify that this is the chassan doesn't mean that you have to have two edim in front of us. Moreover, the other achroinim, the Ein Yontif, other achroinim explain, and this has really been a very big part of what we've been discussing in our shiurim, is that the get that was found is most likely the get that was lost. All of the concerns that we've been discussing in our shiurim are really far-fetched, we must say. And for that, we can rely on Simonim on Tfias Ayin. But says the Gemara, when can we rely on Tfias Ayin? Dafka Suvim Rabbonin, a Talmud Chochem that we know won't say something which is not true. Aval Inish Alma, other people now, not. There's a very fundamental machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat Simen Reis Samach Beis Sif Chof Aleph. If normally the Gemara speaks about Talmid Chachamim, and normally the halacha is that Ein Talmid Chachamim Nahagim Bezman Hazeh, the individual who is identified as a Talmud Chacham throughout Shas and Shulchan Aruch, we don't have such individuals Bezman Hazeh. But says the Taz that the halacha that we're learning here, that we can rely on Tfias Ayin with a Talmud Chacham, does apply nowadays as well. And for that, we can rely on the Talmud Chacham saying that he had Tfias Ayin. The Beis Shmuel, however, quotes the Magen Mishnah that disagrees, that if we're saying the Bezman Hazeh, there is no individual who's declared a Talmud Chacham, the halacha will be here as well. So we're learning now that Tfias Ayin is only a Talmud Chacham has the ability to be relied on with Tfias Ayin. We're going to have this discussion in the next perek when something lost was found. Can we rely on Tfias Ayin? And many Rishonim suggest that over there, the reason why Tfias Ayin is not acceptable is because we have to be concerned that maybe the person is saying it because he's not saying the truth. And therefore, says the Ran, if somebody says Simonim, and somebody says Tfias Ayin, and the Tfias Ayin that he says is not for himself, he's saying, I have a Tfias Ayin that this belongs to somebody else. So now he has no incentive to lie, and therefore says the ran that under those circumstances, we would be able to believe the Tfiyas Ayin even of a person who's not a Talmud Chacham. However, points out the Rajba, that's only if the person who's saying it on behalf of somebody else is not going to get paid from finding this object. But if he's going to get paid, so then he has an incentive to lie. And once he has an incentive to lie, then the halacha is that he has an incentive to lie. And therefore, we can't believe him. However, the Beis Shmuel and the Pnei Yeshua have a very different approach. The Shmuel and the Pnei Yeshua, however, have a totally different approach to this question. And their attitude is that the reason only a Talmud Chacham is believed with Tfiyas Ayin is because a Talmud Chacham, they say, is careful before he says anything. Before he is quick to say that he has a Tfiyas Ayin, he makes sure that he does know and does have a clarity in the Tfiyas Ayin. Amaratzim aren't that scrupulous with what they say. And since they're not as scrupulous with what they say, he says there's a real concern that they said that they have a Tfiyas Ayin when actually they don't have a Tfiyas Ayin. Says the Gemara Gufa, Matzah get ish b'shuk, if somebody found a get in the street, Bizman Shabal Moida, if the husband admits that this is the get that he wrote for his wife, the halacha is Yach Salisha, we should give it back to the wife. However, Eina Bal Moida, if the husband does not agree, Yach Salaylazev, Laylazev, shouldn't give him back to either. So ask the Gemara. We just learned that Bizman Shabal Moida Miya, when the husband agrees that this is the get that he wrote, and this is the get that belongs to his wife, the halacha is Yach Salisha, but ask the Gemara, V'leichesh, why should we not be concerned? The Shemakos of Litein Ben Nisan, the get was written with the intention to give the get in Nisan, V'leinoson ad Tishrei, but he didn't actually give the get till Tishrei. And the halacha is that, as we've mentioned many times in the Shiurim, a wife could bring two different types of assets into the marriage, Nechse Melug and Nechse Tzoyim Basel. Nechse Melug are, as long as they're married, they're his. When the marriage ends, he gives it back to his wife. So since, if they're still married, he could sell those Nechse Melug. And we need to be concerned, asked the Gemara. Also, Baal Zavon Peri Menisna Tishrei, the husband sold off those assets, the Peris of those assets, from Nisan to Tishrei, or Mafka Lagita, and then he will produce the get, the Kasa B'Nissan, that says that they got divorced in Nissan, and therefore the people who ate those payris were not entitled to those payris because they were, according to the documents, divorced, but they really weren't. Vasil Mikzif Lekuchas, and then it's going to turn out that he's going to take back those payris from the Lekuchas that is wrong because they are entitled to the get. Hanicha, so says the Gemara, Hanicha mandam kim shenasa enav lagarsha, that as soon as the husband decided to divorce her, even though he didn't actually divorce her, the halacha is shuv ein lebal achilas peiris, the husband loses his right to the peiris, shaper. So the Gemara is understandable, because since the get was written in Nisan, the fact that it wasn't actually given to Tishrei doesn't have bearing to this question, because he loses the right to the payris from when the get is written. However, Elaman da Omer, Yesh to Baal payris, the husband is entitled to the payris. At Shas Nasina, until the get is actually given. So ask the Gemara, Michael Maimer, why do we trust the husband when he says that I gave the get? Answers the Gemara, Ki Asila Mitrif, when the woman will come to collect the payris. That means, again, the get has a date of Nisan. And this story is presumably happening after Tishrei. And when the wife is coming to those lekuchas and say that, well, you had no right to eat those peiris because they were no longer my husband's, since I already got the get in Nisan, Amrinallah, we tell her, I Saraya, Amos Mota Gitach Liyadech. You have to bring a proof that the get was already delivered in Nisan. And as Tosfos points out, this is a concept that also has been coming up in our shiurim. Normally, if a woman walks in and says, "What a get," and it has a date, we have no reason to assume that the date is incorrect. However, here it's different, because here there's a reyesa. The get was found on the floor. Since there's a reyesa, that changes everything. And therefore, if the woman wants to say that the date of the get, which is Nissan, is the date that we were divorced, she has to prove that that indeed was the case. Meaning, law, we tell her, you're going to have to prove when you got the get. Ask the Gemara, but Mishnah, why is this any different from what we learned in our Mishnah? Mishtar Chayiv, the Tanah Matzah Shtar Chayiv, if Shtar Chayiv were found, Im Yeshviv Nechreis Nechosim, if there's a Chreis Nechosim, Lo Yachse. We don't give back the document to the Malva. Vakimna, and the Gemara on Daf Yodeis and going further explain that the case of the Mishnah is Kishchayiv Moida, where the Loiva admits that he hasn't paid the loan, the debt yet, and therefore the document should be given to the Malva. Mishum, and the reason we don't give back the get to the Malva, for we need to be concerned, Shemakasa Livus Benissen, maybe there was a document written in Nissen, however, Loilova Tishrei, the loan did not take place in Tishrei, and now what will happen is, Katarv Shloikadin, the Lekuchis, as soon as the Loiva becomes obligated to pay the debt, that's the moment where the Lekuchis could the property that the Loiva sold can be taken away from the Lekuchis. But why now? Why do we just not let the Malva get the document? Hosanami. Why in that Mishnah do we not say Leheder? If the Loiva is admitting that the Malva deserves the document, let's give the document to the Malva. The Chiyos Lemitrif, and if the Malva is going to want to collect from the Lekuchis, we'll tell him, when the loan actually took place. But why do we take the position that he's not entitled at all to get back the document? Answers the Gemara. Amri, when we speak about the get, and this woman is coming to collect the payers of the Nichsi Milog, the Lekech is going to say to this woman, bring a proof when you actually got divorced. Omar, because he says, the fact that the Rabbanan allowed you to get back your get is only as we find throughout Shas. Chazal were concerned for Agunas. And since Chazal were concerned for Agunas, they let you get back the get because otherwise you'll be left in a terrible place. Hash to the Kosalamitrif, but that doesn't have anything to do with you being able to collect the payris that was sold. And therefore, Tez of a Tez Raya, Amos Mata Gita Liyada, bring us a proof when you really got the get. But by Shtar Choyv, Leos Lekech V'tava, the Lekech is not going, the person who bought the property from the Loiva, where he's entitled to remain on the property, he's not going to fight with the Malva when the Malva says, give me that property because there's a mortgage, there's a lien on that property. Because he's going to think to himself, mide hadrura nehila rabbanan l'shtar choyv, if the rabbanan gave the Malva the shtar choyv back, why? Pshita, what was the reason they gave it to him? L'may hilchasa ahadrura nele, why did Chazal give it to him? L'mitrifu, in order that you should have the ability to collect with it. Shmamino, from here we could see, kam rabbanan b'milsa. Chazal are able to, they recognize that you truly deserve the shtar, because your loan took place before I bought this property. And because that those lekuchas will have this thinking, they're just going to give up. And they presumably should not have given up. And that's why we're stricter by a shtar choyv than we are by a get. Our Mishnah spoke about, our Gemara just introduced an opinion. The Gemara said it's actually a machlokes. If a husband intends to divorce his wife, he's no longer entitled to eat the payris of her nichsei milug. There's an interesting discussion already from the Rishonim and the Achronim. One of the questions that's asked is the couple is about to get divorced, but they didn't actually get divorced. And we know that the halacha is that a husband isn't entitled to inherit his wife. What is the halacha if the husband wrote a get for his wife, but never actually gave it a get, and before ever and without ever actually giving her the get, she died? Will he inherit her or not? The opinion of the Rashbam is that he doesn't inherit her, because they very much in line with what we're learning here, because they were intending to get divorced. The opinion of Tosfos and the Rosh is that as long as they're not divorced, they're not divorced. And if not divorced, then she's not entitled, then he's entitled to the Yerusha. Which opens up another question. And that is, if a couple is separated, they're not living together, and he intends to divorce her, and before he actually divorced her, she passed away. The question is, a husband said shiva, and a husband is an avelis when his wife passes away. What will be the halacha here? Says the Yam Shel Shloima, that since all of Hilchas avelis are only midrabanan, so even though we're going to have a discussion, we had a discussion about the Yerusha, when we speak about avelis, we certainly could be lenient. And moreover, he suggests that avelis represents grief, that the person that I was married to passed away. If this couple is already in that point that they're separated and getting divorced, so you don't have that feeling of avelis, and therefore avelis is not kept. The Beis Meir agrees conceptually, but he says that this halacha only would be that the husband would not be an avelis for a wife that he was going to divorce if the get was already written. But if the get was, and just not delivered, but if the get was already not written, there was only an intention to get divorced, that isn't enough. And the Rashbam says the same, that Rashbam adds that we live in a world of Rabbeinu Gershom, where a husband can't forcibly divorce a wife. And therefore, until they've actually divorced, they're not considered divorced, and that he would have to keep avelis. And that's also the opinion of the Saba Kedisha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Afandri. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, if you find Shechurei Avadim, a document that says that this Eved is freed, the loch is Harezeh Lo Yachzer. Says Matana Rabbanu Matzah Shtah Shechur B'Shuk. If we find a Shtah Shechur in the street, B'Zman Sharav Moider, when the owner admits that he freed the Eved, Yachzel Eved, then we give it to the Eved. However, Ein Harav Moider, if the husband does not admit that they divorced, Lo Yachzel Lo Lozev Lo Lozev, we don't give it back to either of them. Again, goes explains the Gemara. B'Zman Sharav Moider Miyah, but if the owner admits that he had given the Eved this Shtah Shechur, the Loch is Yachzel Eved. We give it back to the Eved. But ask the Gemara, Vamai, why do we do so? Neich Hashem Kosov Litan Loi Benissen. Why should we not be concerned that he wanted to give the Shtah Shechur to the Eved in Nissen? However, Loi Nosim Loi Tishrei, he didn't give it to him until Tishrei. V'azel Avda, V'karen Nechosim, Nissan at Tishrei, and this Eved bought properties from the time of Nissan to Tishrei, and the halacha is Kol Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi. Anything that the Eved owns really is the property of the owner. And now V'ozel Rav V'zininu, and the owner went and sold those assets. Umapakle L'Shechur, but now the Eved produces the Shtah Shechur, the Kosev B'Nissan that was written in Nissan. And he says those people who bought those assets from the owner are not entitled to those assets. The reason they're not entitled to those assets is because they weren't his, they were mine. The Kotarif, Lekuchis, Shleikadin. He's going to take from the Lekuchis improperly. Why should we not be concerned for that? So again, says the Marhan Nichelman, David, according to the opinion, Zchus Lavid, Shiyot Metachis, Rabbi Lecheris. There's a question throughout Shas, is it positive or negative for the Eved to go free? So according to the opinion that it's good for an Eved to go free, and we also have the opinion that we learned in Daf Yud Gimel of Abaya, Dama Eidah B'Chesam of Zochan Law. So the minute Adam signed something. They are able to take ownership on behalf of whoever they signed it, Shapir. So this is understandable. The Adam signed the Shtar Shichur Nissen, and taking and getting free is a positive. So we have the concept of Zochen LaAdam Shloi B'Fonav. So the Adam were able to accomplish that the Eved should be free without him even being there. So as soon as they signed that Shtar Shichur, that moment, the Eved is free. And that doesn't require that it should be actually given to him, which maybe it wasn't given until Tishrei. Elamand Amar Chayful Eved Shiyot B'Taksi Adil B'Chabers. But there are an opinion that says that's actually a negative. And the reason is that as long as somebody is an Eved Kanani, he could eat Truma. And even we'll say that, let's say he was an Eved of Yisrael. So if he was an Eved of Yisrael, he won't be able to eat Truma. He wouldn't be able to eat Truma anyway. He's an Eved of Yisrael. Still, there's a positive because an Eved Kanani can marry a Shichur Kananis. But when an Eved Kanani gets freed, he could only marry Bas Yisrael. And as the Gemara says, he might prefer to be married to Shichur Kananis because they're all the same type. And therefore, it's not a positive for him. It's not a schus for him to become free. If it's not a schus for him to become free, just because the Adam signed the shtar doesn't make him free. He only gets free when the shtar is actually handed to him. So why Ikal HaMeimer asked the Gemara, why should we not be concerned that it wasn't given to him until Tishrei? And the question, do the people who bought these assets that belong to the Eved, are they the owner of these assets or not? Answers the Gemara, correct. The Chiyosel Lemitrif, when the Eved comes to collect from the Lekuchas who bought from the owner, from his owner, Aminalei, we will say to him, Ey Siraya, Emes Mata Shechra Liotcha. You're going to have to prove exactly when you got that Shtar Shechra. We learned in the Mishnah, Daideki Matana, if he found the Daideki or Matana, the Loch is Hareza Loyachsu. So first begins the Vraisa Tana Rabbanan, Ezi Daideki. What is the definition of a Shtar Daideki? Says the Gemara, we know that the halacha is a shchimera, and there's special leniencies by shchimera. Divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumsurim dami. A shchimera doesn't have to have a kinyan to affect a transaction. And the daideki is dot to hey lemekim liyos, that everything that's in this daideki is my tzava, is my will, that this should happen. And what he was saying is shemes, if he passes away, the chosel aplani to follow the instructions. What it says, and even though explains Rashi that normally a document like this would have to say mehayoyim, it should be retroactive from today. A daideki it's not required. Matana, what is the definition of matana that the Mishnah discussed? Kol shekoyah saboy, there it's not written by a shchimera, and the way therefore it's written. It says Mehayoy Malacha Misa. It's a will that it should be retroactive from today. Alma, Ik Siva, what do we see from here? That if it's written in the Shtar Matana Mehayoy Malacha Misa, Huda Kani, that's when it will be effective. Viloy, but if it doesn't say that wording, Loy Kani would not be effective. Why? So the question is, why is that the halacha? Why is the halacha that if it doesn't say that, it's not good. Says the Gemara, Amar Bai Hakama, Ezi Matanis Bari. What is considered a Matanis Bari that has the same halachic equivalency to Matanis Shchemera? The Loikoni that is not effective El Lacha Misa only after the person passes away. If it says Kol Shekos by Mayoy Malacha Misa, but now going back to our Mishnah. What do we see in our Mishnah? That if we find a shtar daideki or shtar matana, we don't give it back. Because we need to be concerned that even though this person, the shchimera, or the healthy person, wrote these documents, because we need to be concerned, tama, because he did not say the word tenu, give it to them. Ha'ama tenu, if he would have used the word tenu, noisen. then we do give it. Because if he didn't say tanu, we need to be concerned that maybe he changed his mind, and therefore he never meant, it never was, so to speak, consummated, that transaction. If he said tanu, we're not concerned. For many, as the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, matzah daidikus, where we find the shtar daidiki, or finds apitkos, where that's a document that says that the loiva designated a certain piece of property to pay off a loan, or matonis, says the Braisa. Even though everybody is agreeable that this document should be given back to the Mavel, because we need to be concerned that even though this document was written, but maybe before it was supposed to be transmitted, it was not done. And now we can't follow it. So we see that we are concerned that maybe it wasn't done. And this Braisa is said that even though he says the word tanu, it doesn't make a difference. That he still, we don't give it back. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abba Mamam Aloy Kasha. Habibari. The Braisa that says that we don't give it back was written by a healthy person. And since he didn't, because it doesn't say, Kidakotsa Varavim Barisa, a shtar that's written by a person who's sick, it says, as I was not well. And Vaha, our Mishnah says that it was written by a Shchimera. A Shchimera is, as we said earlier, somebody that is, we accept his documentation much stronger. So again, Rashi explains, the Braisa was speaking about a case where the shtar was not written in the language that is written in the shtar that's written by a shchimera. Therefore, it doesn't have the strength of a shchimera shtar. And whereas if it was written as a shchimera shtar, therefore we could follow it. What is the definition of a shchimera? So the Rambam says that the definition of a shchimera is somebody who's very sick and he's bedridden and he can't get out of bed. That's the definition of a shchimera. The Rif paskins that a shchimera is not limited. We think about a shchimera normally. We think about a person who's very ill. The Rif says it doesn't have to be somebody who's very ill. Somebody who's going off on a trip or somebody who has a death sentence about him. All of these people are in the same category of a shchimera. And the Ran explains, because all of these people are in a situation where they're very preoccupied, they're in a very bad place. And since they're in a bad place, we give them the halacha of a shchimera. Really, this question of all of these individuals who I just mentioned can or cannot be considered a shchimera really is a much more fundamental question. What is the reason we're lenient with a shchimera? Is it because a shchimera is preoccupied and therefore he can't be thinking straight? And because he can't be thinking straight, that's why he's considered a shchimera? That's one approach. The other approach, which makes a person to shchimera, is because we don't want to create a situation where they're not in a good place. And since they're not in a good place, we don't want to put them into such a place. If that's the case, then maybe only a sick person who we're concerned about the sick person's situation, such a person we are going to be lenient with. The people who are going on a trip, they may be preoccupied, but there's no concern about their health and what our ruling will do to them, and maybe they would not be considered a shchimera. But now the Gemara explains the teretz it gave. Masis Niktani, our Mishnah says that only if he didn't say tanu would we not give back the shtar. Hama tanu, but had he said the word tanu noisnin, is talking about a shchimera. Because a shchimera, the ba mehedahu, he's an individual who has the ability to change his mind. The meaning, Mayak Lamemer, what do we have to concern? Dilma mikos from mikar lahai. First, the shtchimera had intention to give it to one person, and then imlach v'lo yavilnei. He changed his mind and gave it to somebody else. V'had the kosvul inish achrina, and then he wrote it to a second person, and that was the person of yavnelei. Says and the hashta, and now when we find the shtar, kahad bei mahuda yavnelei, he goes and he changes his mind again. And he doesn't now want to give it to the second person. He wants to give it to the first person. And now he uses the word tenu, give it to the first person. And since he's saying the word tenu, and he's using the word tenu, and the shtar to this person was written first, so therefore, the halacha is that we give it to that first person. E, however, the mataras bar yavle. And if he wasn't a shkimera, less le pseida, then for sure there's nothing to be concerned about. The kinafka tarti, because what's going to happen? There's going to be two documents here. Two documents. The halacha is that if the two gift documents on one piece of property, besrei sezochi, the second person will get it. The hadabe mekamaisa, Bezna will clearly see that he changed his mind. Because and even if we gave it to the second person with matana shchimera, less lip seida, then he won't lose anything. The second person will get it to hakadabe kamaisa because he had a right to change his mind. So in this case, we have nothing to be concerned. Kik tarim b'raisa, when the braisa says that it's talking bebori, the laba medahu. A bori, if he makes a kinyan, can't go back. The meaning, and therefore the braisa says, we need to be concerned. He wrote to one person first. Emlech, he changed his mind, never gave it to that first person. And then he wrote to a second person to whom he did give the shtar. And hashta, and now he's changing his mind. The sava, but he recognized. I can't change my mind. I already gave it to the second person. I made a kinyan. I will tell Bezdin that no lahai yahafta. I gave to the first person first. And even though there's a date in the shtar, it doesn't make a difference. For the head and nala kasvei, and Bezdin will give back the shtar. Kechin the mekapa high cost for the kadam, because they'll say the first person who got it first, says the Gemara. Vehemelhu, why he'll say to the Bezdin that no lahaya after I indeed gave to the shtar to the person who's here first, and I gave it to him whatever it says in the shtar is a gift. And Bezdin will give him the shtar. So that when the first shtar comes out, because that's the first shtar, and Zoche Behu, and he'll take it, but maybe he really doesn't deserve it. Ask the Gemara, Lefika, because of this, we don't just accept what he says. El Aminale, we say to him, Anan Hai Kasvelo Yinalai Lahai, we're not going to give back this document to the first person. Dilma, as we just explained, we need to be concerned. Michta Kasaft, you wrote, Mevlo you have to nalei, but you never actually gave it to him. The Aftalina Shachrena, but then you wrote another star to the second person. And now you regret what you did. Kahajit Bey, now you regret what you did. Ilo you have to Linish Achrena, and if you didn't give it to anyone else, only to the first person, Kabas the Tasfa Lahai. And now you want to give it to him. So the way to do it is write now a new document for the second person, for the first person, the Yavnele. You have to linish achrina, even if the second person will show up, less by pseida, there won't be any loss because you wrote, but you didn't give it, the kadam zachi. Ask the Gemara. So that's why we're able to differentiate a bari versus a shchimera. But ask the Gemara, Maskelor Rav Zvid asks, but both in the Mishnah, they speak about Daidikas Katani. So yes, we could differentiate between a Bari and a Shkimara, but both of them mention a Daidiki. So both of them are speaking about a Shkimara. If both of them are speaking about a Shkimara, we have our Kasha. Why is the Halacha different? Alam Rav Zvid, ha v'ha, the Shkimara. Both the Mishnah and the Brisa are referring to a Shkimara. How do we reconcile them? Lakasha. Ha, the Mishnah that says that if he said Tanu, we give it back. If the Shkimara says, yes, I said Tanu, and we give it back to him, is Ha, Bey. It's talking about a case where he said Tanu, and to him himself, and therefore he is still here and saying that this is what I want. The Shkimara is still alive. For Ha, the Bryce is speaking about Bebrei. It's not, he's no longer alive. It's only his son. And the Gemara explains the Teretz. Masnisin, the Ka'amar Tanu, that the person, the Shchimerim, said, is the one that's saying Tanu, Noisnin, B'didei, is talking about the person himself. The Ki Mahadahu, if he wants to change his mind, as we keep on repeating, the Shchimera has the right to change the reign. Damrinin, because the Halacha says, Inam Yavlin Shachrina, even if he had already given this document, written the document for the person, but he didn't give it to him, Lesle Pseida, there's no loss, because the Kamu Basra, when we have two people, Basra Zachi, and the second one, is we're going to follow the second Shtar of the Shchimera, the Ha, the fact that he gave it afterwards to the first person, and then gave it to the second person, Hadabe Mekamo, means that he changed his mind about the first person, and that right is, he has a right to change his mind, and therefore, if the Shchimera is still living, we have, and now the first person has a document, which we're giving to him, because the Shchimera says, give it to him. But if a second person will show up with a document, he'll win in the Den Torah. Kiktan Braisa, the Braisa, however, is talking about is not when the Shchimera is any more alive. It's he's no longer alive. We're speaking to a son. Damrina, we have to be concerned. Dilma, maybe the person, maybe the son and the person who has the shtar made a conspiracy. And they said, Kosovu Lahai, we need to be concerned that the father first wrote to the first person, Imlachin changed his mind, v'lo yavin alei, and never gave it to him. Ubasar aviyu, and after his father died, and the son should really be the yorish of the father, kasev iulin shachrina, he wrote it, the shtar, which is a fraud, really, to another person, v'yavle, v'hashtaka hadabe mahi, and now he regrets that, v'savar, mehedele metzina hadrinabe, I can't go back on what I gave, because I'm a healthy person. A healthy person can retract. So what he's going to say is, there wasn't mine to give away. My father gave it to the first person, and Bezdin will now give that document back to the first person. And the person that the son, who had every right to give the property to, or sell the property to, will lose the Din Torah, because the father had already given it away. And then, the son and this first person will divide the properties. Because of that concern, Hilkach, Amrinalei, because of that, even though the son is saying that this is a document my father wrote and gave to the first person, Amrinalei, we aren't going to give this back to this person. The Dilma, Michta Kesri Avur, maybe your father wrote this document, have a Meiv La Yavale, and then you therefore became the Yorish of your father. For you have to Adlin Shakrina, and after your father passed away and you became his Yorish, you gave the property to somebody else, and now Kahadris Bey, and you are regretting it, and that's why you're coming up with this whole scheme. Ela Kishta Karmat the Yavale Avuch, if it's true that your father gave the first person the document, Zil at Hashta, you should now go Ksivle Shtar Achrina, write a different Shtar to this person. Dinami lo yafta le'evua. Even if your father, even if what you're saying is incorrect, v'ksafta inishla echrina, and you gave it to somebody else, les v'pseida. There won't be any loss to the person who you legitimately gave it to. Because the aloch is kamru basra, when we have a first person and a second person, the aloch is and it's a healthy person, then we follow the first person star. So if you're going to write now a document to the person that your father had intended to give it as a gift, as a matan shchemara, but he never actually did, and therefore we're not viewing it as a matan shchemara, we're looking at it as the gifts that you gave. So if what you're saying is true, so now you gave, you'll be substantiating and supporting what you're saying your father did. But if what you're doing is not what your father said, and you're just regretting what you did, you'll be caught, because the person who you gave the first document to will actually be the person that will get the, will win and will get those, and will get that document, get that property.